Welcome to the Tuesday Mashup. You know, it's late. You're going to hear some things that a podcaster should never do, but I don't really care at this point. I've got a nice McDonald's spicy chicken sandwich, and I'm going to be happy tonight. Yeah, Tuesday's like, you can be happy. I'm like, listen, overall, the election went the right way, right? I think we can both agree.
It didn't go the wrong way.
Daniel Smith winning. Is a good thing. The first hour and probably, I think it was the first 2 hours myself, but let's just call it an hour and a half, was the biggest fire I've ever seen out of just nothing went right. Like, I mean, like, I played a lot of hockey, and sometimes you're just like, even, you know, when I passed it this way, somehow it bounces off the guy's foot, redirects, and it's in the net, and you're like, I can't do anything right tonight. That's how I felt tonight.
We had the black chicken. I used to work with this guy from Venezuela, and he always called it the black chicken. Where just, you know, when just something goes wrong, and then everything just keeps going wrong afterwards, and he said, you had the black chicken, and it just kept on going until the black chicken went on to somebody else.
It was wild. You know, like, it's... So for the listener, like, we had tons of texts saying, okay, so we do, if you didn't tune in, we did live election coverage.
Yeah.
We started at 7.
Yep.
Everything is going smashing. I was saying this to Tews. It was probably, and I don't mean this because nobody heard it. I mean it truthfully. It's probably the best opening we've ever done. For five minutes, me and him are going back and forth, everyone having fun, laughing, whatever. No audio. So none of it got captured. And you're like, okay, that sucks. Get that figured out. Chris Sims comes on, having a grand old...
Well, Marty came on first.
Marty
came
on.
We talked to him for
nobody,
like 5 minutes.
That's right.
We could hear him, but his audio wasn't being transmitted. So we had a great conversation, but all anybody heard was our side of it and not his side.
So then we get to Chris Sims. Now, like, we're rolling now, you know, I'm feeling good. And it just starts, from here, it just goes off the rails. And you're just like... You can hear her perfectly fine, but nobody else can hear her. Me and you are like, oh, I can hear her. Like, what's going on? You know? And you got this brilliant team of people working behind the scenes, like, trying to rectify the problem. And just nothing. And it just snowballs.
And it's not as though we didn't function this stuff last night.
No, we did. We functioned the shit out of it. And so now you're just like, okay. Like, what do you do at this point? You have all these guests lined up. So now you know, all these people you've lined up, it just snowballs out of control. And you're just left sitting there going, like, to the point where Tews comes back on twice and doesn't even turn his own mic on. I'm like, this is, like, anything that can go wrong, small, large, is going wrong. I tried turning my mic off and it got stuck and it wouldn't go off. I didn't tell you that. So then I'm sitting there going to the boys going, we got to figure something out here. Like, just cut it and we'll go right to YouTube. Like, we got to figure, like, this isn't going to work. Oh, yeah. And, we're making a plan. And so I walk away and I'm like, my mic is still on. And I'm like trying to turn it off and won't turn it. We had to pull the batteries to get it to go off. I'm like, nothing is going right tonight. We're not going to have one of those nights.
Well, I was wondering, because there was a couple times, because our headphones were sitting in front of us for when we were, you know, in a perfect world, talking to our guests that we had lined up. And, well, I mean, we had Tim Moen and Dustin Newman on location with us, sitting beside us, and they were absolutely wonderful.
They did a fantastic job.
Yes, absolutely. They were great. I was super excited to meet Tim Moen in person. Been a big fan of his for a long time. I was just trying not to be too much of a fanboy. That was my main concern going into it. I was like, okay, we got this figured out. We got that figured out. There was a couple little things that I didn't quite get formatted in time that I'd left to the behind the scenes guys.
Your computer, and then I just, like, got on. Self-destructs before we start. It's like, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Halfway through, all of a sudden, it's doing this 500 meg update, and that's just Windows.
Yeah, I'm eating a burger, and it tastes fucking good, all right?
I'm drinking a dram of scotch out of a coffee cup that says Tuesday Mashup on it. We even did all the little things. We had the the Tuesday mashup coffee cup sitting in front of us on the table. Oh, it was just, there was so much to be proud of. Like, yeah, granted, the execution.
Well, okay, let's do this then, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's get out of this negative bullshit mm-hmm. mindset. Let's look at it. And let's talk about some of the positives. Can we both agree the idea was sound mm-hmm. and the engagement online
was huge.
Was huge. The execution, you know, wasn't there. And I joked about, you know, if you're an NFL fan, there's this one game, I can't remember how long ago it is, but it's 10 years ago, 8 years ago, it doesn't matter. Sanchez is a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles suck. Like, I mean, they're bad that year. And
that
it's just,
doesn't really narrow it down.
Well, I mean,
they
did go to the Super Bowl.
There's a couple years
anyways.
That it rules out, but not very many.
Yeah, not the Eagles, the Jets. I keep saying
okay,
Jets.
Okay, well, that
the
definitely
Jets,
doesn't
Jets.
Narrow it down.
That doesn't, they are terrible. Anyways, the Jets, he huts the ball. And, like, goes to run and smacks his head off his linesman's ass and fumbles the ball. And then the other team grabs it and goes down and scores it. I'm like, what am I watching?
That would be a dirty Sanchez.
That's right. And, honestly, like, tonight just felt like one of those days where it was just like none of it's going to go right. But here's the good news. The engagement was insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really, really good. People wanted it. People wanted it to work. The map that we had that was pulling all the election data.
We were absolute trailblazers. It's, well, I touched on it. I'm not sure if it got recorded or not. I don't know if anybody heard this, but I was saying how CBC, CTV, and Global have all done the live interactive map, and that's it. We were presumably the fourth people in Canadian election history to have ever gotten the RSS link to actually get the information so that we could use it in real time.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it actually worked.
Yep.
Could it have been better? Oh, yeah, it can always be better.
No, I am completely happy with how that map went.
Well, I mean, we both joked. It's like, so what didn't go wrong tonight? We're like,
it was
the map.
The map.
Like, the map didn't go wrong. And honestly, the mics didn't go wrong. Like, on some sound quality, sure. But overall, the in-studio portion, for the most part, went on without a hitch.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin and Tim carried the show for, I don't know how long, because, I mean, Sean was distraught. Not distraught. I was angry. Like, I was ready to just, like, throat punch anything that moved, because I'm like, why won't this work? Like, I just, this is what technology does. It drives me up the wall.
I just drowned my sorrows in Red Bull.
I think we all know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a comment about it. I was just, I mean, I didn't even open up Twitter for the past, I don't know, 5-6 hours. And then on the way here, I was just scrolling through. And just like you were saying, the amount of engagement is insane. I don't know if I've ever seen that much on my Twitter feed, ever.
Well, let's have a little fun.
Yep.
Let's pull up the nastiest. Well, I don't know, nastiest. Let's post some comments.
Like, there was a lot of people genuinely rooting for us. A lot of people really happy to see what we were doing. Lots of stuff about how we can't hear them. Okay. Take the mics off your shirts and speak into them. It'll be better. Yeah, not quite cutting it, guys. No sound. Okay. Well, that's probably. And then somebody, Rosie 18 plus, says, you up for some? Warning, contains nudity. I don't know why we keep getting all those spam BS things, but there was, you know, the cool thing was that there was so many people just rooting for us and happy to see us go ahead and try this. One person says right-wing Nazi trash. So
I kind of like this. There's a, where did it go? Blank white paper said, no sound, bye. 6 comments later, stop scratching yourself. Do you have a skin infection? So that means they hung around.
Which is good. It was funny, though. Like, I'm not really a huge expert on being in front of cameras and bright lights and stuff, but I was sweating a lot, and I just felt greasy to the point where I kept on wanting to touch my face and just wipe it off. Like, I was wishing I had a towel nearby. And so I was always just feeling really irritated around the whole face area. And yeah. Sean's looking at me like he's just taking a slow chew and he's about to jump in and tear me to shreds on it.
No, I'm just... I think overall, like, there was so many... Like, once we got the YouTube running, a ton of feedback came in from that point on talking about how good it was. But the opportunity was missed, you know? And I don't want to dwell on this all Tuesday mashup. The problem is it's almost 1 a.m, folks. And, you know, you just, like, maybe in a day's time, 30 days time, you'll look back, you'll chuckle a little bit more. Because, I mean, I laughed my ass off tonight. I had a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. You were bawling at one point. Oh, my God. So hard.
Well, I mean, just the group makeup of what we had going on there was perfect. It was good. It was, like, really good. You know, you plan for something and it just didn't. It didn't go the way I thought it was, you know, and I talk about planning out all these different scenarios, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably annoying somebody right now with the amount of fries I've been jamming in my face and everything. And it's like, you know what? I earned it today. But, like, you plan out all these scenarios and then... You know, you go, well, maybe the mic doesn't work. We'd had that happen last night. It's like, well, maybe the mic doesn't work. Well,
yeah, we went through three microphones for
me. And we finally got it working, and we finally figured that out, and we finally figured this out. And you're like, oh, yeah, things, all day long, it seemed like everything was turning up right. Boom, we're getting it. Boom, we're getting it. Oh, this is coming in. Oh, yeah.
Well, we had a lot of little things where, like, oh, this isn't working quite right. We fix it. That isn't right. We fix it. That isn't right. We fix it. Okay, yeah. We've got all this stuff figured out, and then you go live, and it's funny because you just hear that old adage about, you know, anything can happen on live TV, and you just got to keep rolling with it, and the show must go on. And yeah, it was.
And the problem is when it's a half an hour show, it's one thing. When it's going to be a four, like, what did we end up being? 7 to 11:40. It's almost 5 hours. Like, the show.
I didn't go pee once.
Nor did I. All right, let's pull out Twitter. What do you got for some things to chuckle
in? It's just funny. It, you know, it's going to be a little bit. You know, 1,200 people still tuned into the last half of it on YouTube, which is insane because we just started the YouTube channel. I bet you there's been a cumulative 50 views on it, probably something like that, aside from the 1,200 who tuned in to watch.
And, you know, Facebook ended up rolling. So, like, it's not like, so, you know, we sit here, we're having this little pity party for ourselves and all the Tuesday mashup folks.
Yeah, because, like, we didn't go to the stratosphere.
Yeah,
we
suck, only went to the suck it up, you bunch of, right? Yeah, get it together here. And it's like, yeah, I know Dairy Cartel, okay? We were supposed to have the DC on.
Do you think they did this?
Holy shit, I hadn't thought about that.
Like, we've been shit-talking them too much
DC on the mashup. You motherfucker, hey? Eh?
Yeah, I assume.
Actually, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. I get it.
Yep, they got a bunch of black hat hackers. Yep, that joke I made about him being a sexual pervert because he just sucks on, you know, he just hooks machines up to cows' boobs all day. Yeah, they didn't appreciate that, and just they hit the red button and shut the whole thing down. Or maybe it's Bill C-11. Who's to say? But here's an interesting one. Eco-conscious king turns down Buckingham Palace pool thermostat to save energy.
I mean, he's trying.
Yeah, like, just, you know, we talk about how bad the carbon tax is hitting Canada and how difficult it's making life for just regular schmoes. But when the king of England is just leading by example... Like this. It's just absolutely inspirational. This is a man who takes climate change so seriously that in this world-famous palace, roughly the size of Rhode Island, he decided to turn down the thermostat on one of the swimming pools. It really makes you think that if he can make a difference, so can I.
I mean, he's trying, right, Tuz?
No.
Isn't that what we're all supposed to do? Try?
Yes.
I think we have the green mashup. We powered off solar power.
I think we need to do something like that.
We go for about $1 million government funding because it's gonna, you know, like, I mean, we're saving the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna power it off of the energy of wind and solar. So why wouldn't they fund that? I think it's a great idea.
At least we'd have an excuse for the audio issues. Why'd you guys go radio silent? Well, the sun wasn't shining and the wind wasn't blowing. Yeah, it's just funny. There's a bunch of stuff like McEwen University had a big thing where they were all hand painting the Gay Pride rainbow crosswalks. And you've got this lineup of people each painting a different color, and they're standing in the wet paint while they paint away from themselves rather than towards themselves. And then at St. Albert, the NDP party got in on it, but they weren't even smart enough to put poles on the rollers. They just hunched right over because they're a group of people that have never worked with their hands. And they don't really understand that you can thread a broom handle into the end of it, and then you don't have to just hunch right over. These are the people that didn't get voted in tonight. And if you don't understand simple concepts like that, how are you really going to understand the finer points of governance of the people who do?
Can you believe Vegas beat Dallas 6-0 tonight?
I mean, they're the team that beat Edmonton.
I understand that. But when I look at this, now 98% of the vote is in, if anyone cares.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at that series, nobody had it going past game four. You know, it's 3-0. Dallas is dead in the water. Fuck. They've lost their captain. They've lost Dadanoff. Their fans didn't even show up to game four. Like, I mean, to me, the building looked 3/4 full. Maybe I'm a little off on that, but that was my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They win. Everyone's like, holy crap. No way they get win game five. They win. They bring it back to Dallas in front of their live full barn, because by now you're down 3-2. You got Jamie Benn coming back. That place would have been rocking tonight. Like, as a fan, I would have been like, there's no way we're losing game six. There's no way Vegas is coming in. We're going to a game seven. We just pulled off. Like, we shouldn't have won game four. We shouldn't have won game five. Now we got game six in our home barn with our captain coming back. We should be all over the place. And they get fucking stomped. 6-0.
See, it's crazy to talk about U.S. arenas and, like, it's playoff hockey and there's empty seats.
Hmm?
You know, we talked about it. Presumably it got recorded. When I posed the question to you guys, is who's more evil, George Soros or Gary Bettman? And Bettman keeps pushing for these U.S. Teams because he thinks that there's, you know, all he's got to do is just capture the interest and he'll capture that market. And meanwhile, you got Winnipeg. They grudgingly are allowed a team. And then they just sell it the next 5 years worth of tickets in a weekend. You know, the Nordiques, I'm sure if you brought them back to fucking Quebec, you'd even sell jerseys in Western Canada. Because there'd just be people who are just glad to actually have that back in quote-unquote Canada. And they keep trying to, they keep pushing. Like, look at Phoenix. Look at Atlanta. When they lost their team and they had that big rally to save them and 108 people showed up. Hey, if the Oilers were leaving,
you'd have the entire province. Well, I mean, it's just part of our culture, right? Mm-hmm. It just is.
And that's, you know? I really feel like the NHL commissioner should be Canadian.
Prime Minister's, you know, term limits.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder about an NHL commissioner. Man, he's been around for a lot of years, 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he came over from the NBA.
Yep, fair.
And so you think about it, like, I don't think term limits should really apply to things like that or corporations or whatever. Like, if you've got a CEO that's shooting the lights out, why would you not want to keep him for as long as makes sense for the company, right? And if he's doing great things for the NHL, awesome. But I don't know who decides to get rid of Bettman at some point.
Bushels,
is it the owners?
Bushels per acre.
Yep.
Just text. Poles starting to flip now after losing large leads. I'm sure it's nothing. Calgary Glenmore just flipped on the last poll to NDP. That was 8 minutes ago.
Maybe the duffel bags are going to start showing up in the middle of the night. Here's something I want to talk about this week.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
All right. Police lay no charges against former Unifor head Jerry Diaz in alleged bribery case. So, longtime listeners of the Mashup might remember that we had talked about this before, where Jerry Diaz supposedly had gotten a shopping bag full of cash and just left it sitting around his office. And then it was reported by one of his underlings. And then he quit, went on medical leave, and then retired. And this is the resolution of it. You've got Unifor at the time charged them. And then Unifor's director of legal and constitutional matters, Anthony Dale, said in a statement Thursday that the union's own matters relating to Diaz have been concluded to its satisfaction. He will no longer be subject to a hearing process under the union's constitution. He said Diaz is no longer a Unifor member, and so the union's constitution and hearing process no longer apply to him. So you can accept a bribe and then quit afterwards, and then everything's fine. Diaz said in a statement that he had reached a, quote, satisfactory legal settlement, unquote, with Unifor. Dale characterized it as an, quote, unquote, understanding. So they reached an under-the-table deal to cover up an under-the-table deal and finagled around the fact that because he doesn't work there anymore, he shouldn't be charged. And this is our justice system. These are our unions. This is just the epitome of Canadian protectionist bullshit. I don't even know what to add to it other than just everything right there in the article.
Normally, I'd click the buzzer right now. But Sean, as you can tell,
giving zero fucks.
It's, you know, it's 1:08 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I sit here and I'm just like, what does a guy really want to talk about, Tuz?
I mean, there's so much we can talk about. I mean, I went through the whole list before, we were driving on our drive back to Fusion to get your charger cord that you forgot and then coming back again. Because we went to record the mashup and Sean realized he left the cord for his laptop at the studio.
Just par for the course today.
Yep.
Every time you think you got something going.
Just when I think you couldn't get any stupider, you go and redeem yourself.
Pretty much.
Black Lives Matter is headed for insolvency. But
nothing to see
I
here.
I mean, yeah, it's not as though the founder bought several multi-million dollar mansions. BC emergency room doctors are saying that the healthcare system is going to collapse. So it's interesting that every province always tries to play it off as though, you know, the opposition in every province is always trying to say healthcare is whoever their opposition against dropping the ball and fucking it all up. But you've got liberals, conservatives, NDP, and Saskatchewan parties in various provinces, and they're all right on the verge of collapse. Maybe it's the system itself. Jagmeet Singh called out the Sask First Act, and then Scott Moe pushed back on it and said the Saskatchewan First Act asserts our province's constitutional autonomy over our own natural resources. Saskatchewan is not a wholly owned subsidiary of the Trudeau government, unlike Jagmeet Singh.
He said that?
I'm looking at it right here. That's word for word. Scott Moe throwing haymakers.
I mean, he needed a woman to stand up first before he'd ever do anything. So, you know.
That's
like as much like, as much as we want to sit
the
here and give
one first act is just plagiarism.
As much as we want to sit here and give, oh, Scott Moe, you're such a badass. No, that's a lie. That's such a lie. Like
he saw that it pulled well when Danielle Smith did it.
And then he went and we have a group of people that we know that is part of SASC United. Mm-hmm. And we know they're pulling him right.
Yep.
So I think it's awesome that that's out there. Mm-hmm. But let's not forget Scott Moe is not this like knight in shining armor, folks. I need to say that on here, but
it's an interesting question, sort of a chicken and the egg thing, an existential issue, if you will.
Sure.
If somebody does the right thing, but they do it for shitty reasons, does that diminish the outcome at all?
No, you want them to do the right thing, mm-hmm. okay?
But if they do it out of self-interest rather than them doing it because it's their job or because it's their duty or the pledge that they swore when they took office, if it's purely out of self-preservation, does that diminish the effectiveness of it?
The effectiveness of it? Hmm. Well, I would say, like, I love that tweet.
Absolutely.
The thing I'm just reminding the voting population is let's not forget everything that led up to that tweet or, you know, the last 6 months, 8 months, whatever it's been. Because
the COVID reaction has been a little bit longer than that. But yeah, go ahead.
But you get the point, right? Like I sat and watched those press conferences too. I sat and watched the other guy who got ousted, Jason Kenney, right? We're seeing his...
Jason Kenney was never interested in being, and I mean, this is all supposition, right? But nothing I ever saw from that man ever even so much as implied that he was interested in doing a good job of representing Alberta. He seemed to be somebody who was a lot more interested in making a legacy for himself and being the guy rather than, you know, we talked about it tonight a little bit. With like Chris Guy and Artur Pulowski.
It's all about me.
More about them than it is about what they're trying to accomplish. And Jason Kenney, I would say, fits that mold perfectly.
Sure. I don't know how much I can really back up. At the end of the day, he sat and, you know, called everybody out just like Jason Kenney did in press conferences. The same time he was talking about, he had a snitch line. He had his, he was hiring his second police force to go enforce it all. He was doing all these fucking crazy things. And maybe this is just Sean at 1:15 in the morning. But as much as I'm like, great to see him finally call out saying, it's kind of like the conversation we were having tonight, why politicians can't just call bullshit out. Because they have to toe the company line. And the only reason Scott Moe, we're both agreeing with this, I think. Mm-hmm. The only reason Scott Moe is doing that is because he thinks it'll pull well.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know.
Look at the Saskatchewan NDP party. They voted along with the Saskatchewan party against the whole 2030 phase out of the coal plants. The NDP party is voting for coal power in Saskatchewan. Now, how well do you think that plays with their federal owners? Because they are subsidiaries of the federal NDP party.
I assume not very well.
Oh, not well at all. But they're doing it because it's going to pull well for them. And so it's that same question. Are they doing it for the right reasons? I would say no. Because they're very much ideologically against it. But they're doing it because it will further, hopefully for them, hopefully not for everybody else, their political career.
Yeah, and when you toss the NDP into it, I really don't like it. It's like the ulterior motives outweigh any good that they're trying to, that they're like acting like they're going to do.
Look at the time the Liberals bought the Trans Mountain Pipeline.
Yeah, that is it.
Which actually wasn't a good thing on any level. But they tried to play it off as though they're saviors. But they created such a hostile business environment for pipeline construction that Kinder Morgan was about to walk away from that expansion. And they said, well, don't walk away, we'll buy it. And I'd say, if anything, that showed more. That was worse, probably, for the investment community than Kinder Morgan walking away entirely. Because if Kinder Morgan walked away entirely, then they would have gone and revamped things and come up with something that worked. They were able to say, oh, hey, we bought this because we're all magnanimous and shit, and then let it go, you know, 400% over budget after they paid way too much for it to begin with. And it's been an ongoing shit show.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
Yes.
All right. Well, get to it.
So, from the Telegraph, having three dogs is as bad for the environment as taking a private jet, claims travel boss. Luxury airline executive says footprint of private jets must be put into perspective. You should see the look Sean's giving me right now. Are we seriously having this conversation? Yep. In defense of his own industry, Patrick Hansen, boss of Lux Aviation, claimed that animals are as polluting as private jets. How many Golden Retriever / Rottweiler cross dogs do you have before they come up with the same carbon footprint as the private jets that fly into Switzerland for the World Economic Forum meeting, or to, you know, CP24 in Scotland, or that one they had in Egypt, or where Trudeau flies around two planes?
You think they just said it just to fire people up? You can't be that dumb.
No, I think they are that dumb. Look at Bud Light. Like, you've got people who are trying to stem the bleeding, because I feel like there's a lot of very justified pushback against private flight. I mean, on some sense, yeah, it makes, like, if I could afford to do it, I would. But that's because I'm from Canada, where we have our choices of Air Canada and WestJet. And WestJet was pretty good up until a few years ago. But Air Canada has been an absolute shit show.
WestJet was good up until like 10 years ago. WestJet hasn't been that good lately.
Okay, well, I said a few, but it was general, right? But yeah, we had, oh shoot, I think I scrolled past it in my bookmarks. This is why we need more time to put all this stuff together. But a CEO of a carbon offset company is resigning because he said that they're basically worthless, which they are. Like, it's empty virtue signaling that government money gets thrown at, which is, I mean, 90% of what the liberals do, right? But yeah, that's the kind of stuff that private jets, you know, people say, oh, well, you know what? It's okay that I flew my private jet over here because I planted some trees. No, it isn't. It's not okay. The fact that you're owning up to the fact that it isn't okay doesn't bode well for you. If you're going to do something, own it. Just be like, yeah, I'm totally fine flying a private jet. I think that individual CO2 footprints is vastly understated, and, you know, just go with whatever you personally believe. Don't try and apologize for it and then throw out some empty, meaningless virtue signaling afterwards. Be where you're ever going to be and be proud of it.
Trump's tired. And, you know, we could do this little song and dance, but there's just no way. You know, folks, when we started this, Two said, put a smile on. I'm trying really hard. Sean's just tired.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we made it to the championship dance. And it's not that people didn't enjoy the second part. They certainly did.
They absolutely did.
Yeah, they absolutely did. I should clarify that. They absolutely did.
I'm speaking for Sean here, but I definitely really appreciated how interested people were, how excited they were to watch it. We put a lot of time and effort into it, and it wasn't the payoff we were hoping for, but it's still really encouraging.
Well, yeah, but we already know. It's like, well, what went right? It's like, well, the idea was sound, like beyond sound.
Oh, yeah.
But I just sit here and I go, it's 1:20 in the morning. I know, like, I'm supposed to be giving this way more energy. I just don't got it. I just don't got it today. So Tuesday mashup, you're sitting there and you're waiting for the laughs and the tears and the whatever. And it's been kind of like dull. It's like, it's because it's like almost like we did a 5-hour live stream. And then on top of it came here and are recording now just so we have a Tuesday mashup to put out.
See, you should have just drank a whole bunch of Red Bulls all day long like I did.
That's probably right. Oh. Either way, I'm going to kiss the audience goodbye. Mm-hmm. Call it a day. 35 minutes. This has been the shortest mashup. Well, 36 minutes. This has been the shortest mashup we've done in a very, very long time. But I think the audience can understand. And we're going to be back next week. Like,
oh, yeah.
Rock and roll.
We've got years worth of mashups lined up.
That's right.
There's always new stuff. And if anything, that's probably one of the most disappointing things about the election is that if the NDP had won, the mashup would have been the solid gold go-to for the next 4 years. Like, we could have just called it the NDP is not a serious party show.
Yeah, we would have been doing it from prison probably somewhere. That's
it would have been great. We would have just been tapping on the bars in Morse code.
All right, Tuz. Let's get the heck out of here. Let's go to bed. All right.